What are you talking about? My fucking my yard situation, my front porch thing? Huh?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 142 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And I know that puns have been my curse on this podcast, but generally, I feel we've found the end of heartache with this fire.
That none of that, right? The first bit makes sense.
Yeah.
The last two don't. We found what was the last bit?
We found the end of heartache. The end of heartache is found with how good this podcast is, incorporating to what the kids use these days as fire emojis.
I think we've lost them already. If you're still listening to this, let us know what's happening, pod. But yes, this week's guest is guitar production, technically a frontman in a kind of way, legend, that is Adam Dukovitz, also known as Adam D from Killswitch Engage and Times of Grace.
Yes, and the influence on this man is impeccable. Adam D is not only the brain behind so many mega metal hits with Killswitch Engage and Times of Grace, but guitarists worldwide idolize him. He's produced everyone from Under Oath to Every Time I Die, The Devil Wears Prada, and most importantly, he's a very kind and hilarious human being. Some of his mannerisms and little jokes on stage, some of your favourite things you've ever seen, Sean.
Yes, oh, he's a very, very funny man. And yeah, we get into that, and we mentioned some of the things he's previously said on stage, which were hilarious. But yeah, I was just, like I say later on in the chat, like, I was just amazed that, like, when I did my research on him, all the albums that he's produced, that he's been involved with.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, he is legend, I am Hollywood. I didn't realise he produced that. And that's one of my favourite albums from, it's one of my favourite albums. Parkway, Unearth, Under Oath, Every Time I Die, From Autumn to Ashes, Johnny Truant, England's very own Johnny Truant. Yeah, it's just, he's just done so, so much. And while being in fucking one of the biggest metal bands of all time, Killswitch Engage. So, yeah, what a fucking fantastic chat we had with him. And, what a lovely chap he was. I was a little bit worried he wasn't going to be as fun as I'd hoped he would in my heart. But no, he was exactly as fun, if not more fun. So, thank you very, very much to Adam for coming on. If you listen to this, let us know. If you haven't listened to this, Adam, don't let us know. That's important.
No, but obviously he had to up the comedy game being with us two Welsh idiots. But yeah, his influence is impeccable with everything he's done. And of course, Time of Grace are back with a brand new record now. It's the first new material in 10 years with the project with his very good friend and fellow Killswitch member, Jesse Leach, titled Songs of Loss and Separation, that you should go and check out. But throughout this episode, we're going to touch on everything from his songwriting, producing, and weird guitar shapes, wacky stage moments, some important life lessons, what his wrestling finishing move should be, and of course, the time he went on and won The Price is Right.
That is true, yes. That was fucking mad, wasn't it? That was nuts. Yeah. You need to stick around to listen to just that. If you listen to anything today, it's got to be that story because, yeah, he got to go on his TV favourite TV programme. He was picked out of the crowd and he did surprisingly well. So, yeah, it was fucking fantastic. And, yeah, I really, really, really fucking enjoyed this chat. Yeah, so, like, yeah, last week we did two of my favourite podcasts we've ever done. This was one of them because it was very, very fun and he's a fucking legend. And then, yeah, the other one will be coming very soon, I believe. But yes, awesome. Thank you very much to Adam D. If you like this podcast or you've got any comments or any future guest ideas or any suggestions for topics we should talk about, get in touch with us at Sappening Pod on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Sappening Pod, at, you know, the little A with a circle around it. SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. And if you've enjoyed three or more episodes of this podcast, I am demanding that you become part of our Patreon this week. So check out patreon.com/sappening. There's a whole host of other things, treats, other podcasts we've put up, videos, photos, and you get to become part of our amazing, amazing Patreon community. So yeah, if you've enjoyed three episodes, you owe me and Morgan at least £2.
Yeah.
So well, get in touch.
It's literally the price of a cup of coffee. So if you want to give us...
No, it's not. That... Coffee costs more. Coffee,
does it?
Coffee's about £4. I know you don't take coffee. Take coffee. Like it's a drug. I know you don't Oh, but I've been on a fucking coffee.
Well, see, we can't even afford coffee anymore. So please join our Patreon, patreon.com/sappening, so we can have a little drink while doing this podcast and just help it go in. Literally, I'm going to be at Bloodstock Festival this week, getting some extra bonuses for the podcast as well. So if you want some real behind the scenes insight into how that's going to fucking go, patreon.com/sappening. But let's not go on anymore. The wonderful, brilliant, talented guitar legend that is Adam D of Killswitch Engage and Times of Grace is with us right now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin! Yes! Might even be the best one. Yes, might even be the best one so far. This week's guest is musician, engineer, producer, and what I'd like to call part-time comedian as well, Adam D., from one of the world's greatest metal bands, well, several of the greatest world's metal bands, I guess, Killswitch Engage and Times of Grace. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys today?
Yeah, all the better for having you join us. So thank you very much for taking the time.
Stop blowing smoke up my ass. Come on.
I was just saying, oh, nice mug. Yeah, that was, oh, good answer, mug. That was very good answer.
No, man, but how's things? I mean, you're talking to us out on your porch, it looks like, a nice sunny day, having some coffee. I mean, how's life at the moment? What's going on?
Life's good. It's nice to know that things are going to start becoming a bit more normal, like whatever normal is, I guess, with the restrictions ending here with the pandemic and whatnot. We have some shows lined up. So I went absolutely bonkers being stuck at home for like 2 years. So it's nice to know there's like some actual things on the horizon, you know?
Yeah. Is there anything that you've done in those 2 years to try and keep yourself sane? Because I'm the same as you. Like, I'm always busting to get out and play shows, and like you as well. I try and make every show funny as well. So, just wondering if you've got anything that's kept you sane, or you've done anything, or you've taken up stand-up?
Just large amounts of beer. That's about it. I think the pandemic like pretty much ate me up alive, to be honest with you. I got low during the 2 years, just being literally just stuck in my house. And, you know, my girlfriend works so much, I hardly see her. So I was like really, really just to myself within the four walls, and went kind of batshit crazy. So it's so freaking nice to have something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine, but especially with like the pedigree of your touring schedule over all these years as well. I mean, I'm sure that you've hardly been home over the last 20 odd years. So when you're kind of stuck grounded in the place you actually are supposed to live, it feels a bit alien.
Yeah, it's like the grass is always greener, you know. When I'm on tour, it's like, man, I'd love to get home and just relax. And like, I remember when the pandemic thing actually happened, we got sent home from we only got two shows into our Headline Atonement tour in the U.S. And yeah, we just pulled the plug. We all flew straight home. And at that moment, I was like, oh, dude, this is sick. I'm going to get like a little vacation, you know, and like, you know, take some time and like, you know, sort my life out and, you know, relax and then get back at it. And then, you know, 3 months later, I'm like, oh, my God, get me out of the fucking house. I'm going to punch a hole in the wall. Get me the hell out of here. Yeah, it's just so, yeah, it's balance, you know?
Yeah, it did feel like it was going to be like a short break. And yeah, like you said, I think a lot of people were like, oh, good. Yeah, it is going to get a chance to get my life together. And then 3 days later, they were like, right, my fucking life is together. What the fuck do I do now? Like, where do we go? What the fuck do we do? But yeah, I'm glad that you've got things on the horizon to look forward to. And you haven't gone fully insane.
It was close. Yeah. How are things faring over there in the UK?
Well, we're in Wales at the moment, which is on a tighter lockdown than England, because we've got like a devolved government, which,
that's
crazy.
The whole thing.
But basically, England have gone, oh, do you know what? Fuck it. Let's see what happens. I played my first gig last Friday for the first time, and I went to Liverpool, and I'm sure you've been to Liverpool several times. As you probably know, the Scousers are fucking mental. I didn't see a single mask the 2 days I was there. So that was terrifying. But that's what's going on over here at the moment. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Right, right.
Are you quite hesitant to get back, or are you just like can't wait to step back on stage and be like old times?
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. Like I was saying, it's so nice to have something to look forward to, and just really like just wanting to have that connection again. You know, it's like, I didn't really have many people to like hang out with during the whole thing. And obviously we couldn't, because we're supposed to be all, quarantined and whatnot. So it's funny when I play a show, when I walk out on stage, I feel like I'm walking out to a room of a bunch of my friends, even though I don't even know them. So it's just like, it's that communal feeling of just everybody wants to hang out and party and jam together, you know? Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah, that's the perfect analogy for a kill switch show, is that it just seems like just a fucking bunch of people who are here for a fucking good time, and they know they're going to get have fun in between the fucking ferocious metal as well. So yeah, some of my favorite memories and on stage shtick has been you. I remember I came to see you guys in Cardiff once, and You said this song is about the time Howard fell off a horse. This song is called When Darkness Falls. And I nearly died.
So, yeah, so there was a good run where I would just make up. I would try to get Howard to laugh so he couldn't do the scream in the beginning of the song. So, like, I would just make up, like, scenarios from his childhood or something. Or, like, my favorite ones were when I'd get Howard and he just was, like, rendered useless for, like, the first, you know, he's supposed to do open the song with a scream. And he's just like, I'm done. I can't do it, man. I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah, but I think that's one thing people have always admired about you and Killswitch Engage, especially like that live performance, because so many bands within metal take themselves too seriously, or some don't take themselves seriously enough, but you've created that kind of middle ground live where you can have a laugh, you like to wear a cape, you're out in shorts, you're jokingly calling people pussies, you know, you like to have that little in between. Is that something over the years that you're quite glad you started quite young doing it, because you've been able to kind of have the best of both worlds?
I don't know. I guess I'm a lighthearted person, and yeah, I guess I definitely want to make sure we play the songs right at the same time. And, you know, like the combination, I just, going back to the whole thing I said, it's like, I feel like everyone in the room is like part of the band. We're like, we're all friends. And I just like, I feel like there's nothing like hanging out and having a laugh and slamming a beer and, you know, shooting the shit and then, you know, listening to some music. So that's pretty much what I do when I'm off stage too. It's like,
nice. Well, yeah, I've always wondered, who are some of your favorite comedians and stuff? Like, where's your sense of humor come from? And yeah, who do you like? And
I don't. Yeah, you know, I didn't really have like favorite comedians growing up. I do love Bill Burr now. I think he's
fantastic.
He's
yeah,
fucking hysterical. Maybe it's because he's from Massachusetts as well, but it's just that sarcastic son of a bitch. You know what I mean? It's just like, I love that humor. So yeah, I guess I never really had like a favorite comedian growing up or anything like that. Yeah. I just think, you know, I just feel like, laughter is almost like medicine. There's just, it feels good to laugh. So, you know, it feels good to joke around. I guess it's always been embedded in my personality.
Yeah. Is there any kind of like weird outfits or things that you've done on stage over the years that you think, well, maybe people just didn't get that, or you've gone too far, or it's gone the other way?
You know, I think it's just when I do put something on like that, I'm just like, I don't care. You know, it's just like a whole like, oh, let's see what people think of this now, you know, and just like, let's see if I can get a good laugh out of it. And, you know, I think every time, like, I know I've done my job right. If I get some kind of reaction where somebody's pointing, going like, Jesus, look at that fucking idiot. And I think that's happened every time. So, yeah, that's exactly the reaction I want. Oh, look at that fucking idiot. Yeah.
100% record. Yeah. Fucking nailed it. Yeah. Yes. Somebody's laughing at me. I've done it again.
I did it.
Yeah. I'm finally above the law.
Yeah. I like the idea of someone seeing you for like the first time at like a festival or something, not getting what the hell's going on, thinking what the hell is he dressed at, and then all of a sudden you're busting out like all the weirdest guitar shapes in the world and they're just memorized trying to put the two together.
Yeah it's definitely shocking to some people, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, while I was doing research for this episode, like, I knew you were a producer, but I didn't realize you produced the majority of my influences. So that's something that I'm fucking absolutely fresh on, that I didn't know. Like, From Autumn to Ashes, Too Bad You're Beautiful. Like, I remember that coming out. I remember that going fucking mad over here. That was fucking incredible. What else we got? Every Time I Die, Last Night in Town. Yeah, here's an album that I haven't spoken about on this podcast. We've been going 3 years, by the way, and I haven't really spoken about this album, but it is genuinely one of my favorite albums and one of the most influential albums to me. He Is Legend, I Am Hollywood. What a fucking album. Congratulations on all of those. That's fucking, you literally, it might be your fault. It's your fault that I'm here now talking to you. Yeah, so if you're like sitting there going, I wish I hadn't said yes to doing this, this is on you anyway, because you did this by making me need to be in a band because of these bands. But yeah, are you still producing at the moment? What's next? What?
I've recently slowed down my production lifestyle so I can have more of a personal life. But I'm still doing, obviously, like all the like the Killswitch stuff, the Times of Grace stuff. It's still like really rewarding for me to like build my own music. Still, I love that. Right from the inception, like writing an idea and then making that idea turn into a complete song. It's just like one of the most rewarding feelings, you know, there is for me. So I'm thinking about once, you know, Killswitch starts slowing down touring. Maybe I'll get back at it a bit more with other bands, but I think that the touring we were doing before the pandemic, it felt like it was nonstop. I was just like, which is why I said, shit, man, this break is going to be awesome, you know, for the first 2 months of the pandemic, you know, and then obviously it just kept going, but, you know, I think, we'll see what happens with, the touring schedule coming up, you know, maybe I'll get back at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we recently had Mike Aranica from The Devil Wears Prada on the podcast, and he was really crediting working with you to the way that that band has changed the way they look at writing music now and being able to breathe a lot more, being able to kind of think of the structure of the song rather than just putting mad bits as much as you can. Right. When looking back at working with some people, like how would you describe your producing style, because a lot of people are really different. Loads of people like to kind of honing on the songs. Though people like to like pump up their motivation. How would you describe when you're in the studio with a band?
It's literally just taking a band's strong suits. You know what makes them, it gives them personality, and just shining them up and bringing those qualities out in their music. And obviously, you know, hiding the bad stuff too, you know, like, you know, that's what Pro Tools is for. But, it's just really trying to find the band's personality and letting them help shine it, you know, come through and you know, speak through their music.
What record of the ones you've produced would you say is one that really sticks out to you, that you're kind of really proud that you got to be a part of? Is there anything that comes to mind?
You know which one I still love? The Under Oath record, one of the Under Oath records that I did, Define the Great Line. I think it's just they came in like just guns blazing, man. They Tim, the guitar player, he's a very motivated individual with his songwriting and his arrangements, and they just had such passion and drive on that project, and it was just like, you know, lightning in a jar on that one. It was just you know, came right together, and that was a rewarding record to make, because working with their singer Spee, I feel like I helped him find himself and his singing style in that record a bit more, and it was just a really cool thing to watch. Like he like got better making that record.
He was quite shouty. He was just quite shouty prior to that, right? Like he was mainly just doing the screamy stuff.
Yeah, he found his voice. He found his voice on that record. So
So what we're saying here is that Under Oath owe 20% of all future records to Adam if Spencer sings on it. Yes,
where's my money?
Brilliant.
Imagine. But is there any bands like you've had a thought of lately, maybe trying to work with in that capacity, or maybe just songwriting or anything like that? I know you're trying to slow down at the moment, but is there any inklings maybe of something coming up?
I guess the question is, who have you been excited by lately, I guess? Yeah.
There's a bunch of new bands out that are pretty cool. There's a new signing on Metal Blade called Capra. They're pretty cool. There's this band, Johnny Booth. They're pretty cool. Who else? Who else have I been hearing lately? Just like, that's cool. I'm such an old man and so out of touch with music. It's just like, you know, other up and coming bands. That's all I can think of right now. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm at a loss. Yeah,
it's all good.
I've drank all my brain cells away. So yeah.
Snap. I've tried to smoke mine away. So yeah, we haven't got
that. There you go. Yeah, yeah. I can't smoke the marijuana. I'm one of those like wicked anxious people. Like if I have too much, I'm like in the fetal position and shaking for the rest of the night, you know?
Like, yeah. I think I was like that originally. Yeah. And then, it took a couple of those. took a couple of fetal position, full on sweating, covered, looking like I'd been had a bucket of water tipped over me, but it was just my own sweat. Yeah, I had a couple
I love that your persistence. You just didn't give up, even though it like terrified you and made you lose your mind like several times in a row. Like,
yep.
Oh no, I gotta keep at it, man. I wanna be scared and sweating. Yeah.
Well, yeah, if John Cena's taught me anything, it's never give up. I've got a battle on. It's wear a fluorescent green t-shirt wherever possible. Tell people that they can't see you. And never give up. That's the three fucking John Cena mottos. I eventually got through with the sweating and the paranoia to be like, oh, this is all right. It makes me calm down and makes me think laterally rather than being fucking all over the place at all times. So
right.
But yeah, I know loads of people that it doesn't sit well with for some reason, which is I'm glad. Yeah, carry on, Morg, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, but Adam, am I right in saying that for a while you were straight edge?
Oh yeah, when I was up till 24. I didn't drink. So yeah. And then I got a job as a telemarketer, and I was absolutely fucking miserable at my job. So I'm like, you know what? A beer sounds like a good idea. And they're like, oh, this is way better. I don't mind my job that much. Yeah. And then wake up in the morning and do it all over again.
Wow.
I think I did 18 to 28 straight edge. And then I went to Japan. And my friend said, what do you want to drink? And I said, I'll have a Coca-Cola. And he came back with a Bailey's. And I was like, I'm breaking edge to a Bailey. That's cream. That's 90% cream.
God.
What's the fucking... But yeah, I drank three of them.
Your first drink was Bailey's.
I drank three or four of them. And it got me to the point where I befriended a lady in Japan, we got there. Three Baileys. I befriended a Japanese lady in Japan and, do what you do over the night. And I woke up the next morning going, can I speak fluent Japanese when I'm drunk? Because I was like, how did that happen? Like, she didn't speak much English and I didn't any Japanese. And I was like,
wow.
Baileys must make me fluent in Asian languages. This is insane. That's
amazing. Yeah, maybe I should try some Baileys when I travel. Huh?
I'll do tequila next now, and it'll make me speak fluent Mexican, Spanish. Yeah. I'll be going wild.
Fluent Mexican.
Fluent Mexican.
Oh, wow. You haven't helped yourself at all there, Sean. But
we're beard up now. We're beard up.
I'm completely straight edge. Yeah, I've never had anything. So I'll take your advice of not going into telemarketing for any reason. So
yeah, don't do it, man. So you must have vices then, right? Like, what do you have? Like a something that you're like really passionate about or addicted to or in a different way? If you don't drink, if you're straight edge, you're crazy about something, I imagine, right?
I think I'm just crazy in general. So I think that just adds to it, maybe.
broad sense. I'm just crazy with everything else.
So everything else, yeah. I love, it's going to sound very like UK, but cup of teas and stuff I'll have all the time.
You're so English, aren't you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I'm Welsh.
Wow.
Sorry.
Right, that was it then. That was the end of the podcast. Thank you very much, Adam D. I can't believe he's mixed us up now.
That is a real thing. Welsh people hate being called English.
And Scottish people do, and Irish people do. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Everybody who's in Britain, right, who's not English, hates the fucking English.
I know this.
Yeah, those bastards took over and made everything fucking Britain. And now we're suffering because of them. So, yeah. It's all right, though. It happens all the fucking time. It's fine.
Yeah, it's good. I've been called worse things in my life, so, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. But going back to music, everything, we should talk about this new Times of Grace record. I mean, obviously, yes. You guys returned for the first time in 10 years with Songs of Loss and Separation. What was the kind of snowball getting this project back out of kind of retirement? Because it did seem for a while that maybe it was a one and done kind of record. How did that process come back together?
Oh, well, I've been writing the songs for that record, God, for like it's been 8 years since I started writing them. So, you know, it was always just meant to be a side project because of how busy Killswitch is. But it was a chance for me to, like, you know, reach out and write different styles of music. You know, there's a lot of like rock and roll style stuff on that record. And, it was just a great outlet for me to, try some different stylistic approaches, and, you know, actually I'm singing more on it. So it was just, you know, and it was almost like a vessel to, get like the bad things out of our brains. And I think that project is just, it stemmed from, you know, bad experiences in our lives and sharing those. So, we kept the bad experience theme going with this record, so, and the life shit going on in this record. So, yeah. And I think the fact that we had all that time during the lockdowns with the COVID, stuff, it gave me the opportunity to finally button it up and get it done.
Yeah. I'm sure it must have been interesting revisiting some of those songs you've written like 6, 7, 8 years ago, and kind of having those emotions come back.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, once I had the time to like dig them back up again, I'm like, oh, I remember this song. Wow, it's been a while. But yeah, we were also really lucky that Jesse was able to finish all of his lyrics before the lockdowns happened, so we didn't have to travel and record together. So it was just me recording everything by myself and finishing it up. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you and Jesse have got a great relationship with songwriting and a kind of musical flow and everything. But it does seem that this is a nice kind of different outlet for you to explore other sides of your musical influences. I know Jesse, for example, is really big on punk and kind of other completely different genres. So for the two of you, is that something you've talked about a lot, wanting to do little things that you wouldn't be able to do on a Killswitch record?
Yeah, exactly. Like I was saying, this is just like an outlet for us to explore those other interests and, you know, styles and whatnot. So yeah, it felt good to step out of that Killswitch Engage role for a little bit, you know, because, you know, I think there's a specific sound associated with Killswitch that I feel we need to kind of adhere to in making our music. So, yeah, this is just like, fuck it. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
Is there any kind of like really crazy ideas that you didn't maybe expect to put in, or stuff that maybe you had to take out because it just didn't fit?
Not necessarily. To be honest with you, there's a song on that record I thought I didn't want it to be on the record because it sounded close to a Killswitch Engage song, but it ended up on the record because everybody seemed to pick it as one of their favorites, the song Rescue. So I was like, all right, I guess if people really like it, then we'll just put it on the record and hope, you know. I guess we try to make music that people like, so it made sense to me at the time. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Turns out, I've done a census and people really like this song. Should we put it out? No. let's put out the worst song. Yeah. Let's find the ones they hate and we'll put those ones out. That's fucking brilliant. That's,
and then do remixes of them. Yeah.
Any chance we could do a dubstep remix of these songs that people hate? I think the metal community is crying out for a drum and bass remix of this song that they hate already. Like, yeah.
Nope.
Oh, if we talk about remixes, though, I'm sure you've, over the years, seen plenty of links to that Craig David Killswitch Engage mashup that's being around.
Oh, what is it? Sorry, I don't think I have.
Oh, my God. Oh. Are we about to show a man a thing for the first time? Unbelievable. Craig David. I can't believe I'm writing this into fucking YouTube. Craig David Killswitch. It's his song. I can't believe they've done this. Oh, there's a Michael Bolton one as well. Have you seen these? Have you seen any of these?
I have seen the Michael Bolton one, and I adore that one. Yes, so good. I was like, I remember when I heard that the first time, I'm like, I hit up our managers. I'm like, can you reach out to his people? We should make this happen. That would be so sick. I would be so into that.
Did you ever hear anything back?
I don't think so. No, I'm sure they're just like, leave us alone.
Yeah, but he's done things with like Lonely Island and stuff. Yeah. Surely that would be fucking that's such a good idea. Imagine Michael Bolton and Kim Switch.
Michael Bolton with breakdowns and blast beats. Oh my God. What else is that's like the greatest thing in the world. Are you kidding me? I would love to do that.
Well, let's make it happen. We're on to this. After this now, we're going to get people tweeting Michael Bolton and Michael Bolton's people making this happen. Do you know who Craig David is, by the way?
Craig David? No. Okay, sorry.
Sorry, it doesn't bother me. Yeah, I'm not Craig David. I don't give a shit. He does UK, we call it garage music. UK garage, which is like a kind of... How do I describe garage music? Jesus Christ, why did I start this?
Well, that's funny because I make garbage music.
Not true. And this garage music is a bit like soft dance, I guess. Urban, should we say? Yeah, urban themed music. So, yeah, okay. It's his song "Fill Me In," I believe, over "End of Heartache." Is it?
Mm. Yes.
Oh, you need to hear it. This guy's because the song "Fill Me In" and Craig David, he's massive in the UK. So now and again in metal clubs, "End of Heartache" starts. You're like, "Fucking yes!" And then all of a sudden, Craig David starts singing over the top of the bastard. And you're like, "Ah!" But it still works somehow. Shit.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I don't want to like it, but I can't help it because there's two things that are okay by me.
I'll have to check it out later.
We'll forward the link on after we'll have to.
I'm just trying to think of the people, the most random people you could get to like collaborate with now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who would you, if you could, if there's anyone,
like anyone, yeah.
anyone, who would you, oh, who would man. You love to have on a track?
Oh, that's a really good question. It would have to be something unexpected, obviously. You know, Michael Bolton is perfect, but
he's the winner.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough.
David Hasselhoff.
These are things I never think about.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, dude, you know who I love? Lady Gaga.
Do you know what? I was going to say Lady Gaga.
I adore her. She is amazing. So yes. That would be correct. Sick.
Oh, yeah. Imagine her. She seems the type to be up for that. Yeah, she seems the type to be up for that as well. Like, she'd be up for...
Just Lady Gaga with brutal metal. Sick.
We need to make that happen, don't we? Thing is, it could be Killswitch Engaga.
Nice one.
You are welcome. All the two of him. You are welcome. Killswitch Engaga, mind. Together at last. Use people you'd never expected. Yeah, that'd be
I would personally love that.
Me too. Yep. Me fucking too. More than, that'd be amazing. All I'm thinking about now is how the fuck do I get in touch with Lady Gaga and make this?
Stranger things have happened.
Six degrees of separation. I can get to Lady Gaga somehow. I'm going to make this. Yeah, I'm going to try anyway. But yeah, carry on, sorry.
Oh, stranger things have happened. Speaking of like going back to live performances and stuff like that, obviously Killswitch have just done a live stream. We've revisited two records. How was that experience for you? Because I'm sure it must have been a little bit different than what you used to in the past.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of practicing because I didn't play my guitar for quite some time. So, yeah, it's pretty funny just picking up the guitar and starting to rehearse the Atonement record. I was just like, oh, my God, I've completely forgotten how to play everything. This is, oh, what a nightmare.
Who the fuck wrote this?
Yeah, exactly.
What trick made this so difficult? Ah!
Yeah, right? Yeah, brilliant. Right? But it was good to get back on the horse and play some guitar again and play the songs with everybody. Because I was missing the like actual making music with other human beings thing, you know. It's a good feeling. And it was extremely awkward because it was done in one of our favorite venues, back near where we're originally from. But nobody was there. It was just a film crew. So it was just like, it's hard for me to really get into it and like feel the music when there's nobody there to share it with, you know what I mean? So I'm sure I look a bit awkward in it, but you know, at the same time, it was a great platform to also share the entire record with people. Because like I said earlier, we never got to, play, the US tour on that show, or on that record. Sorry. So, you know, it's just, we wanted to get the music out there and share the record, you know? So, it was a good way to do that.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. It must be a weird way to kind of look back at a record you've made 2 years ago if you're not having really had a proper cycle and tour from it.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? We put this record out two years ago and we haven't played any songs in the US supporting it. It's just like, oh, like, geez, man. So we're really gunning to reschedule that tour. We're setting up dates and getting the three bands that were originally on the bill back together for it. So yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be fucking awesome, I think.
Well, it is us. No, it won't be that good.
Don't be silly. Don't unbelieve. Yeah, if anybody's listening to this and you haven't seen Killswitch Engage live, number one, what the fuck is wrong with you? Number two, you have to, because it's fucking one of the greatest metal bands of all time, playing their songs, which are fucking fantastic, but they're also playing them sometimes slower and heavier. And then also you get a fucking fantastic show from Adam, like, telling his jokes in between. You have to go and see Killswitch Engage. If you haven't, that's my tip for you. You must go now.
Ah, shucks. You're still buttering my bread.
No, well, I wouldn't have this if it wasn't for you. So thanks, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. So that's, here we are. Yeah, here we are.
But going back and speaking to that about that record as well, one track I did want to mention is the Signal Fire, because a lot of fans really just loved the idea of having Jesse and Howard on a track together again. So like, how was that whole process? Like, looking back at it now, is it something you're quite proud that you've got to do for the fans, to have that kind of two eras of Killswitch combined on a track like that, and just to have that love flow?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also a statement, you know, to all of our fans that, you know, there's, you know, we love Howard and we love Jesse, and, you know, they're both a tremendous part of who we are and what we were, you know? So it was just also like, you know, it's nice to show fans that, like, hey, there's no bad blood. We're all friends, you know, we're all cool together. And yeah, I love Howard. I still chat with him. He's a great dude, and his new band's great too. So.
Yeah, it's strange, really. I never thought of it like that. But yeah, not many bands with like former members kind of integrate the former member back in a way.
Exactly, because most bands, when, you know, somebody's kicked out or they leave, there's, you know, they still hold on to those grudges and blah blah. Where we try to bury the hatch and, you know, let bygones be bygones. I think that's important. It's an important life lesson, kids.
Yeah, but especially when you have all that history together as well. I mean, obviously, there's people who love Jesse, there's people who love Howard, there's people who love everything you've done. So you might as well celebrate all the achievements you've ever done. I think some people do kind of freak out sometimes that there might be like animosity or like all this behind the scenes drama and making up things, you know?
Right, right, exactly.
People want gossip, though, don't they? They just want fucking...
You know what? I fucking hate drama. I don't understand why people, like, adore drama and, you know, behind-the-scenes bullshit and all that garbage. Like, dude, life is short, man. Chill the fuck out, you know? Come on.
Nice.
Well, this is a bit of a nerdy question, and I apologize if you don't have an answer for this, but I did want to talk about...
Yeah. What's your favorite computer? No, what are you going to say, Mark? What are you going
to
say?
No, all right. I wanted to talk about This Fire Burns, because I'm a massive wrestling fan, right? And obviously that track was used for CM Punk for a lot of years in WWE. It was especially the time he started exploding in that scene and everything within wrestling. And I was just wondering, like, when you have a track and it's being being used for a major sports thing like that. Is there a weird process? Like, is it, do you have to sign off certain rights so they can use it for their programming whenever? Like, I would like to know a little bit like the ins and outs of that kind of thing. Or is it just nothing to do with you guys? Is it just like a management whole deal?
It really was nothing to do with us. Yeah. It just kind of happened. I think we were asked, we made the song. And then I'll be honest with you, it became a lot, it got much more notoriety than I was expecting. I didn't even know it was CM Punk who was going to use it. Once it happened, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then, yeah, wow. And because I know wrestling's huge. I do not watch wrestling, but I know it is pretty damn tremendous. It's very popular.
I'm quite shocked by that, to be honest, because you seem to not own a sleeve, and that seems to be the natural uniform of a wrestling fan is sleeveless, obviously. So but yeah, like, you're a funny guy, you like entertainment, obviously. I thought you'd be quite into the wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really do it for me. It almost feels like a soap opera for men. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, that's it. Yeah,
like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you exactly nailed it. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, and I'm not much into drama, like I was saying.
Oh, yeah, okay, so, yeah. Fair. Yeah, it's, right.
It's all, because it's all, you know, it's mostly all bad acting, you know, and then there's obviously, and then there's some wrestling in between the bad acting.
Yeah, but you've got a sense of humor, so you, like me, you can sit there and watch and go, he's not fucking wearing that to wrestling, is he? Yeah. You know, it's going to be a constant thing.
You know, I do have to say, there was one wrestler I actually did quite like back in the day, Mick Foley.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
With Socko.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
His finishing move was his sock. It's like, this guy's awesome.
Do you know what? I've never thought of it in those terms.
His finishing move is his sock.
Oh, I wish I'd become a wrestler and I had like a scarf or
it's brilliant, man. It's brilliant.
I never thought of it like that before. Yeah. This is fucking sock.
It's true though.
I'm crying, boys. I'm crying.
I know. I adored Mick Foley. Mick Foley was the best.
Exactly. Yeah, that's we should start a wrestling. We should start a podcast where we get Adam into wrestling, where he just makes fun of wrestlers doing this.
Yeah.
It would do so well. It would do so fucking well.
Show you pictures, just show you random clips, and you just be like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on there? That man's a giant dinosaur. Yeah, it's fucking.
You know, our bass player Mike watches wrestling with our main stage dude Josh, and like when we're on tour, they'll be watching it, and like I'll walk into the room and I'll be like, I'll just get snippets of it here and there, and I'll be like, what the actual fuck is this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, why would he just run past him and not punch him in the face? Why is he bouncing off the ropes? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get you.
I would
watch a whole fucking series of you watching fucking wrestling. So I'm not saying that's my Twitch
only
idea.
If somebody
for you.
Brings back Socko. If somebody brings back Socko, I'll start watching wrestling. Yeah.
I think there's another, because there's WWE, right, which we all know, the Fed, WWF, and there's a new company now called AEW. And Andy from Every Time I Die wrestles for him.
Yes, he does. Right.
Which is a massive fucking company now. I think Mick Foley's going to go there soon, so you might see a bit of fucking Socko.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I'd be so happy.
I'd also like to see an Andy Williams versus Adam D wrestling match as well. So that's something.
Oh, my God. He'd wipe the floor with me. I have a bad knee, bad back. Oh, God. It'd be like, he just mopped the floor.
That's when you get Mick Foley out, and then he just puts a sock in.
Oh, yeah, Adam, have you not learned anything? All you need is some sort of undergarment, and you can win.
No, I'll win, but my finishing move will be defecating on the person. I'll call just a handful of shit. I'll call it Turdo.
Dude.
Yeah. There we go. This is Turdo.
Turdo, Turdo, Turdo.
You want me to give him the Turdo?
See, you've got the perfect voice for fucking shooting promos as well. You should be fucking doing... at very least, I want to see you become a manager of a wrestler. You don't have to get armed. You don't have to fight people. You just have to come down and go, if you guys don't want to see Turdo, you better shut your fucking mouths.
Yeah, perfect.
Sure. Turdo. Fucking love it. Yeah, Turdo.
I could probably take a chair to the head, but, you know, nothing involving the back. That's all.
Yeah, I made that mistake once, never again.
While we're on crazy bits of entertainment, I'm sure you get this a lot, but we have to talk about The Price is Right, please.
Greatest day of my life.
I must have been. What was that day like? Getting called down, being with Drew Carey, and then winning it all.
So I'll preface this with I've grown up loving that show. You know, as a kid, like whenever I was like sick from school, I would, you know, my favorite part of the day, 11 a.m. The Price is Right would come on, and I just glued to the TV. And like, I love that show. The whole, so many years with Bob Barker, loved it. And then I was in L.A. for some reason, and me, my girlfriend, and a couple friends, we were just like, we need to just go to a taping of that show because I want to see how it works. I want to be there in person. I think it'd be like the funnest thing in the world because I just love it. So yeah, we just went unassuming, just, you know, go get in line, and they interview you and. And I guess they do like a pre-interview to see if you'd be a good contestant or not, which makes sense. And, you know, they just asked me, you know, like, do you love The Price is Right? I'm like, love it. Favorite show. And like, what's your favorite game? Plinko, duh. I love Plinko. Everybody loves Plinko. We go in and my girlfriend called it. She's like, they're going to call either you or our friend. I know it. I feel it. And I'm like, no, that's bullshit. We're just here to watch. And I'm not expecting anything to happen. We're just going to watch this and have fun. And I think I was like the fifth or sixth person called. And I think I just blacked out from excitement. I don't remember anything. I swear. Have you ever been in a situation where you were just so jazzed up, you just completely black out? Like, I blacked out, completely blacked out from excitement, and it was an absolute blur. I couldn't stop shaking after the taping of it for maybe like a good couple hours. You know, it was just insane, man. Like,
yeah.
And when I actually won the whole thing, I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I was just jumping up and down, just screaming. I think I probably terrified Drew Carey, man. My God, this fucking guy is gonna hurt somebody. I think when I won the first car, I was so excited, I just ran out of the studio. Like, no, you have to go back. Go back on stage, you won. Just in pandemonium, man. I lost my mind. It was crazy. Yeah,
I'm looking at pictures of it now. That's so good.
I remember when the photos of like it airing came out and people were just like, what is going on here? Like, and the fact that you like gone all the way, won the big prize as well. I mean, that's the ultimate moment.
I'm pretty sure I broke the internet that day. Pretty insane, man. I've had a lot of wonderful things happen to me in my life, but that's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm watching you standing in front of this car now, in front of this little Honda in your flip flops. Celebrating. Yeah. That's fucking brilliant. Yeah. That's amazing.
By the way, I own sleeves. You see, I'm wearing a hoodie there.
Do hoodies count as sleeves? They're just part of, like, it's more of a jacket, I think, than...
Yeah, I guess.
I always wondered what Bulla for Valentine did with all his sleeves, because they never, from the get-go, Bulla for Valentine never had sleeves.
You know, I think you're right. I don't know if I've seen any of those guys with sleeves.
No,
right.
Never, ever. They must have the warmest shoulders on earth. Also, I'd imagine... they've got a cupboard full of sleeves somewhere as well.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a headband, if you ever need anything to get your hair out of the way, just pop around one of Bullet's houses, and I'm sure they're going to have thousands of sleeves about the floor.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I would I would use my sleeves for sweatbands all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Exactly. That's genius. yeah, did you get the money you won and the, all the prizes you won? Was that all kosher and real? Did all that come through, or did they skim anything off the top? Or Drew take a finder's fee?
Right. The one bummer about all that is that you have to pay taxes on all of it, it's earnings.
Yeah.
So if you win a bunch of money or say they do a dream car week, right? Where like they give away like Maseratis and shit like that. These cars are like $100,000. So say you win something like that, like you're going to end up having to pay like $30,000 in taxes. When you win something that big, it's not as cool as you think. So, luckily, I was able to sell the two cars. So I ended up making out a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. That's fucking brilliant. I'm trying to think if I know of anybody else who's ever been on a fucking game show that I've spoken to. And I don't think that's true.
Yeah. But that's just a moment that no one would expect. Like,
yeah. Including myself. I was like, what? While it was happening, just blacking out from excitement. You're like, what the hell is going on? What the fuck is happening? It's like, I couldn't believe it, man.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, Adam, we won't keep you too much longer, but just a couple more quick things before you go. Obviously, I know you've mentioned that you're really excited to get back on the road and everything, but in between times of grace and everything else, since lockdown, have you been working on any new Killswitch music at all? Any other projects? Any kind of ideas?
I have, and I cannot speak of them as of right now. Unfortunately, I cannot share with.
It's a project with Lady Gaga. It's definitely a project with Lady Gaga. We've sussed it. It's either that or Drew Carey. Drew Carey on a Killswitch song would be funny. But Michael Bolton. But yeah, when can we? When will we find out about this new stuff?
It's still in the works, so to be determined.
Okay, I've just had an idea though. You need to go full circle now, and you need to do a music video with Drew Carey in it, but he's a contestant on a game show, and you're the host.
That would be sick. Yes, that would be awesome.
The riff is right.
You know, I reckon it's time for me to go back and do another taping, see if I can get on again.
Oh, please.
That'd be sick. Yeah, we've been talking
about
it.
Adam's back. Tell a friend. Oh, it'd be so good. I'm all for it. But yeah, amazing. Wow.
Is there anything else we can expect now going forward with any of the projects, any tours overseas, anything like that we should keep an eye out for?
It's hard to really say what's going to happen with all the lockdowns. And I know a lot of countries are opening their borders again. Some of them are shutting their borders again. So it's hard to say. Obviously we want to, I've been missing the road so much. So let's hope for the best. I'm hoping there'll be some sort of European festival situation, next summer. Has anyone announced anything yet? You guys would know better than me, actually.
No,
so.
Download and all them have announced a lot for 2022. So never know.
Yeah. So they basically took the 2020 lineup, didn't they? Moved it to 2022. So that's good. That's going to be good. They did a pilot festival.
All UK ago, bands,
I think it was. UK bands all download, and that worked quite well. So if we can somehow get you guys smuggled in, that would be fucking fantastic. I think that would be fucking amazing. Thank you so much for giving us your time. You for this. It's been fucking
thanks
awesome
for having me, guys.
I've loved it.
Right on.
Fucking loved it. And hopefully when you come over, fingers crossed we could do one of these in the flesh, because that would be fun. I believe
we'll have a Bailey's together.
We'll have a Bailey's. I tell you what we'll do is we'll drink a couple of Bailey's first. We'll do the old podcast in Japanese. Japanese! It's a Japanese podcast! Yeah!
I love it. It's great.
Oh,
it's
wow. Great. Wow. Well, thank you so much, man. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Right on. And by the way, your shirt is fantastic.
You listen to Sappy Podcast?
Yes! Yes! Adam D there from Killswitch Engage and Times of Grace, Metal Legendary and Folklore, and many a fucking good time on stage. Yeah, what a fucking legend. Yeah. What an hero. And I can't believe he produced some of the most seminal albums of the early 2000s, and I didn't even fucking know. Like, I was so obsessed with some of those albums that I just don't even know why I didn't look into it, but I was just like, I Am Hollywood by He Is Legend is fucking amazing. It's the perfect mix of gritty rock and roll, southerny type stuff, and new metal for me. And I hope He Is Legend don't mind me saying that. But yeah, it's fucking fun. Like, that from Autumn to Ashes, Every Time I Die, Under Oath, Unearth. Unbelievable. Unfucking believable. But thank you again to Adam for coming on and being a lovely chap, yeah. Very funny, and a good sport.
Yeah, I love how blown away you were finding out about all those producer credits and everything. But what a hilarious man, what a charming individual, and just a very iconic figure in the whole heavy music scene. And as you heard there, just before we left, he complimented one of our t-shirts. It wasn't mine, because I was wearing a plain black jumper. It was, of course, yours, Sean, because you have this Faith No More little ditzy that a few people online have been making comments about.
Yeah, Fake No More, more like. I think I bought it off one of those websites that put t-shirts up for a week and then they gotta take it down. So, yeah, you can't get it anymore, so ha ha ha. But, yeah, I was quite happy with that. And it was absolutely lovely to also see Adam's front porch. And that's not a euphemism for his cock and balls. I genuinely meant the outside and the front of his house, because he was just chilling out on what looked like a swinging chair.
Yeah, literally.
Which might be the coolest way to do a podcast we've come across so far.
I think it is. That definitely wasn't a virtual background.
Other people include Craig Mabbitt's virtual background. That was good. It looked like he was on the Millennium Falcon, mm-hmm, I believe. Mm-hmm. What other good backgrounds have we had? The Offspring were quite good in their studio.
Yes, yeah, we had David from Electric City put a background that he was over a bridge in California on the sea.
But yeah. So check out all of those. And yeah, do you know what? Check out all the episodes, because I'm telling you now, even if you don't know the band, I'm going to put it as far as even if you don't like the band, I'm telling you now, the bands have had some interesting stories, and it's good to hear how people navigate through this music industry differently to each other. So, yeah, check out all the other episodes, because they're all real good. And if you've listened to three or more episodes, I am demanding you buy me and Morgan at least three quarters of a cup of coffee for £3 over at patreon.com/sapnin, where there's a whole host of things that you can check out, and you can become part of our community. There's videos, there's photos, there's bonus podcasts. Check it out, patreon.com/sapnin. And if you've got any ideas for future episodes, future guests, things you want to know, questions you want to ask, or just straight up abuse us, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod.
Yes, it's always worth going, giving us a follow and seeing what we're up to. This weekend, for example, we're going to be living two very different lives, as one of us is off to a Morven wedding and the other one is off to the heavy metal festival of Bloodstock.
I think you just said your own name, man, instead of Mormon festival. One of us is going to a Morgan wedding.
Oh, it's not mine. Oh,
and that one is on Morgan. That's mad, isn't it? No, yeah. As Morgan Neely said, yeah, this weekend, one of us is going to Bloodstock.
Hello.
And one of us is going to a Mormon wedding. That's me. Complete polar opposites to what probably people expected.
Yeah.
People probably thought, well, if anyone's going to go to the metal thing, it's going to be Sean. But no, Morgan's going. So wish him well at Sapnin Pod. Wish him good luck. Get in touch with us and let us know who you'd like to speak to. Also tag them so they know the Morgan's there, so they can chase Morgan and scare him massively.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, really hoping you get to speak to Barney from Napalm Death.
Same. So am I, because I think that would be the collide of worlds no one ever expected. And that's what we like to do here, is bring the unexpected element to people.
Well, yeah, since he stopped wearing that dinosaur costume, I think everybody's taking him a lot more seriously. So, yeah, I'd like you to speak to Napalm Death. I'd like you to speak to someone from Skindred. Would be fucking fantastic if you could sort that out.
I'll try my best, but obviously people can keep an eye on everything. I'm going to be getting loads of extra content, loads of bonus things for the podcast, social media, and our Patreon. So it's going to be a very interesting weekend indeed.
But please also try, if you can, to try and speak to Party Cannon, who have the best font in death metal.
They do.
If you Google Party Cannon and Death Metal Festival, have a look at the lineup, because it's fucking incredible, because there's an old poster where we all know the death metal font, don't we? It looks like loads of twigs have fallen on the ground. Or
spiderwebs.
Or a spider that smoked crystal meth. You know, it's that type of font. But then you've got Party Cannons in the middle, which is colourful and looks like bubbles. So, yeah, try and speak to Party Cannon if you will, because I'd imagine they are quite funny. And also, if Party Cannon got a long sleeve top, I'd gladly take one of them on. So if you can blag me one of them, Morg, or buy me one of them, that'd be fucking fantastic. Thank you.
I'll do my best schmoozing backstage and see what I can do. But no, I'm looking forward to it. We've got a lot of exciting things on the horizon with the podcast that we can't announce yet.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a busy few months. So fingers crossed everything goes well for that. But things are always busy for you, Sean, because Raiders, your band, played a couple of shows this past weekend. And you're going to be playing a few more shows very, 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 very soon.
Yes, next week, I believe Raiders are playing August the 20th at Bridgewater at the Cobblestones. And then the 31st, the day after, we're on a tour. Spelled T-W-O-U-R, the number two, because it's 2 days. It's 2 days. The joke hasn't landed. so we're on the August 20th, Bridgewater, Cobblestones, August 31st in Gloucester at Dick Whittington's, which to me sounds like a play. But it's not. So yeah, come along. Should be a laugh. I promise you, I'm going to be having a laugh. So, and that's all that matters to me. But yeah, if you fancy a laugh and you're bored on those days, come along, man. It'll be fucking tidy.
I'm sure it would. But you can get all the information for tickets, the dates, and more on their social media at Raiders Band UK on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Did the plug for you, Sean. Did the plug for you.
I was about to say thank you very much. Thank you very much.
But yes, keep updated with everything going on. And before we wrap this up, of course, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names in there from our Patreon that we would like to thank. Everyone involved in the community helps this thing happen each and every week, and we love them more than we love ourselves. But now Sean is going to get a massive shout out to the elite members of the Sapling Patreon community, and they are as follows.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you so much to these people. I know we do it every week, and I know some people are probably bored of it, but literally, you fucking, this Patreon literally keeps us going. I cannot stress that enough, right? So thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mikey Engler, who I've been referring to as the name he's written here, but now I've realised that we might have subliminally been sending out messages to people to go and eat from the eatery that his name was on previous episodes. If you'd like to hear what I'm talking about, check out any of the previous episodes. So, yeah, Mikey Engler, thank you very much. Janelle Caston, thank you. Mitch Perry, Kelly Young, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Liam Connolly, Drew Styles, Paul Hirschfield, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Shani Meyer Boxel Anderson, Tony Michael, Amadine Urbano, Kat Besant, Captain Hannibal, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Morgan's Oxmall, that doesn't work, shit, Mike Oxmall, bugger, nice one, Scott, Johnny Phillips, Amy Campion, Caroline Robinson, Caitlin Richards, Kevin Clark, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Lydia Henderson, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Kate Stevenson, Lucy Deans, Emily Senegals, John and Emma, Coffee Wind, Kelly Cannon, Livy Cropper, Jason Heredia, Becky Andy, Stuart McNaught, Adam Parslow, Ollie finally been to some gigs, Amesbury, and it was very, very good to see you a junior the other night in Swansea, where I saw a bunch of the Patreons.
Hey.
So that was awesome. It was real good. Chris Howard, Alice Wood, Josh, did you hear about the claustrophobic astronaut? He just needed a little space crisp. Oh, my good Lord. Daniel Stevenson with a V, Sean's favourite letter. That's in reference to several rants I've done about bands using V's instead of vowels. And to the point where at Raiders Band UK on the socials, I've got a song called Unnecessary V's and all of the vowels are V's in it. So you can't find the song online. So that was as funny as it was useless. Thank you very much to Reese Bowring, Craig Irvan, Amy Chilvers, Ben Evans, Mark Jones, and last but not means least, Connor Lewin. Thank you very much to all of those heroes and everybody who's part of the Patreon, who's ever been part of the Patreon, and we love you if you do become part of the Patreon. If you're considering it, we're considering loving you. So that's how it works.
It does. That's how it works. But yes, thank you so much to everyone who supports us, everyone who's listened, and just everyone that's ever giving a damn about Sapnin Podcast. As I mentioned, we've got some very cool things coming up, so keep an eye on that. At Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. My social media is at @MHRichards_. Sean is Fake Sean Smith and Sean Smith Sucks. So go and check it out. We'll be posting loads of things. And this has been another great episode. And I can't wait for some surprises to be coming next week. And maybe even sooner.
Ooh. I hope you don't die a bloodstalker.
Same.
Because because next week's episode is a fucking belter, and the week after that is a fucking belter as well. So, and you've got them saved on your lap. Oh, write a note for there now, then, right?
My passwords, everything.
Yeah, I need two of my parents. On the off chance that bloodstock goes massively, massively wrong for me, Sean is going to need to have this computer and these passwords to put out the last couple of episodes that we've recorded. But yes, good luck at Bloodstock.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's going to be a bit different to the last gig you went to, which was
McFly.
I wonder if it's anybody else who's doing that. Gone from McFly to Bloodstock. Hey, let us know what's happening, Pod, on Twitter and Instagram. If you went to McFly and your next gig is Bloodstock. Or let us know on Twitter and Instagram what the two most extreme gigs you've ever been to.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question.
Back to back juxtaposition like that. Yeah, there's got to be some fucking maddened.
I think I went from seeing Tom Jones in the CIA in the Motorpoint Arena in Cardiff.
That's not unusual.
To seeing... Right, that's the end of the episode. No, I'm not even going to say it.
No, come on, finish it off.
No, fuck off.
Who did you see?
No.
We want it.
They'll never know now. You've ruined it for them. If you think Morgan Richards has ruined this podcast, get in touch with us. That's happening. No, I went Tom Jones one day. And then I think the same week was like Slayer, Lamb of God, and somebody... Was it Slipknot? No, Slayer, Lamb of God, Hatebreed. Slayer, Lamb of God, and Hatebreed was the next gig I went to after Tom Jones. So
wow.
green grass of home, baby. Let's get over the end, for God's sake.
Satman!
You're listening to Satman Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.